ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तया परहित विज्ञानास तत्कृत स्मरविवलः भावन्या अपि पश्यन्त्या गतरिस्तत्पदं ययौ। ट्रांसलेशन फ्यू श्लोकास टिल वी रीच द परपोर्ट। ट्रांसलेशन लॉर्ड शिवा हिज गुड सेंस टेकन अवे बाय द वुमन बिकॉज ऑफ लस्टी डिजायर्स टू एंजॉय विथ हर बिकेम सो मैड for her that even in the presence of Bhavani he did not hesitate to approach her. The beautiful woman was already naked, and when she saw Lord Shiva coming toward her, she became extremely bashful. Thus she kept smiling, but she hid herself among the trees and did not stand in one place. His senses being agitated, Lord Shiva, victimized by lusty desires, began to follow her, just as a lusty elephant follows a she-elephant. After following her with great speed, Lord Shiva caught her by the braid of her hair and dragged her near him. Although she was unwilling, he embraced her with his arms. Being embraced by Lord Shiva like a female elephant embraced by a male, the woman whose hair was scattered swirled like a snake. O king, this woman who had large high hips, was a woman of Yogamaya presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She released herself somehow or the other from the fond embrace of Lord Shiva's arms and ran away. As if harassed by an enemy in the form of lusty desires, Lord Shiva followed the path of Lord Vishnu, who acts very wonderfully and who had taken the form of Mohini. Purport. Lord Shiva cannot be victimized by Maya. Therefore, it is to be understood that Lord Shiva was being harassed, thus harassed by Lord Vishnu's internal potency. Lord Vishnu can perform many wonderful activities through his various potencies. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate Sabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. The Supreme Lord has various potencies by which he can act very efficiently. To do anything expertly, he doesn't even need to contemplate. Since Lord Shiva was being harassed by the woman, it is to be understood that this was being done not by a woman, but by Lord Vishnu himself. Lord Shiva, his good sense taken away by the woman because of lusty desires to enjoy with her, became so mad for her that even in the presence of Bhavani, he did not hesitate to approach her. Hare Krishna. So, it's getting more and more bewildering what's happening here. Were it not for Prabhupada's saying purports, we would really misunderstand this leela, is it not? this story is a very strong proof of the need for the acharya's purports. Because if any one of us were to read this purport ourselves without the enlightening words of Prabhupada, we would say, what is going on here, you know? This is exactly what happens in the movies. This is absolutely filmy, you know. But whatever our mind may say, whatever our response may be internally, our intelligence is somehow protected from making wild assumptions based on our own inferior perception of reality, which is covered over so much by the external potency of the Lord. We are saved by Prabhupada's purport. So we want to thank him especially today for for telling us why Shiva is behaving like this. So this very, very interesting interesting pastime is various lessons to learn always from each and every story which we learn through the first canto onwards. Different wonderful devotees reveal different aspects, like jewels come out from the ocean. Different jewels come out from each pastime. As devotees try to relish in different ways, you know. So, of course, in this particular, we are approaching very shortly the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are already in the 8th canto. So, Shukdev Goswami is understanding that now is the time when Krishna's own personalized pastimes will be revealed. His childhood pastimes as a coward boy, and his pastimes of killing the demons, and especially the pastimes of his conjugal love, they're going to be revealed very soon. This is almost the 6th day of narration going on for Shukdev Goswami Parikshit Maharaj. Maybe a day or two, maybe 1.5 day remaining, whatever, something very small. But before we misunderstand Krishna's pastimes, we have to be educated about the nature of the Lord's various potencies. Because the 10th canto reveals the Lord as He is, in His absolutely original, natural nature. This is God Himself as He is, as He always wants to be. As He's always loved to be, with His dearmost devotees in His most favorite realm of Golok Vrindavan. So obviously many things there will be very bewildering, the way Krishna is behaving like that. But before we get into Krishna, we need to know that how Krishna deals with His devotees. So when we understand Lord Shiva's pastimes in the right perspective, we will see also Krishna's pastimes in the right perspective. So we are being cleared up of misconceptions based on the understanding of how pastimes take place based on interaction of the external internal potency. So here it is said, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva, variegated potencies. Krishna is such a multifaceted person, and He has so many potencies. Natural, because He's Ananta, so obviously their potencies are also many, many, many. We categorize broadly for understanding as external, internal, and marginal. And each and all the energies of the Lord work in perfect unison to the Lord's desire. What our Lord wants to achieve through these potencies is perfectly performed by these various energies. So, we are the marginal ones, we are the dastha ones, like it happens on the seashore. You have water on one side, you have sand on one side. And the water sometimes comes on the sand and sometimes goes off the sand. Sometimes it is dry, sometimes it is, mostly it is moist. Not too wet, not too dry. So we are like that, we are sort of at the tata. Tata means the shore, the tata stha. Stha means situated. So we are situated on the tata. That means exactly between the external and the internal. And therefore we have this natural choice of what we want to gravitate towards. Having stayed here for a long, 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 long time, millions and millions of births, we are naturally gravitating towards external potency. And to add to the whole thing, we are not only surrounded by the external potency outside, but the very body we are made up of, which you call as ourselves, I, Mr. So-and-so, I, what I am, my identity is based on this body. So since our identity itself is based with matter, so all our conceptions are also related with matter. So we are heavily covered. The other day, I think Prudhu Prabhu was telling about how we are covered. Very revealing, he said that we are covered by layers and layers, so many miles of earth and so many miles of water and so many miles of, you know, the several layers covering the universe, you know, and each layer being 10 times thicker than the previous one. So even if you were to have a small something so small, but if it is 10 times covering and then 10 times and 10 times, it actually becomes very large. To have something, someone's covered over so much by these potencies, what really remains of his nature? Even if you have beautiful, most beautiful diamond, which shines most lustrously, if a simple cloth covers it, luster is gone. So however brilliant the spark of the soul is, the soul is a powerful spark, definitely. A spark of the Supreme Lord, a spark of the fire. Supreme fire is Krishna. We are spark of the fire. But even then, having been covered so much, what remains of the spark practically? Nothing. So what? When nothing remains means we only know ourselves as this. This body of 5 foot 4 inches is what I am, 65 kilos. That's what I am. And they act, how perfectly the Lord's energies work. This, we may think, how can somebody think that he's a pig? How can somebody think that I'm a kangaroo? How can somebody ever think that I'm a cockroach? How can you think that I'm a bacteria? But the potency acts so perfectly that the moment a particular type of body is given, along the body what is given? The perfect state of consciousness also is offered. So it's not that you have a body of a cockroach and you think like a giraffe. If you have a body of a cockroach, then you think like a cockroach. It means you start liking sewage and live in sewage pipes. You don't live in the jungle. And if a giraffe, you don't think like a cockroach. Right? So along with the type of body which is given to you, you have a perfect type of consciousness which is also offered to you. So everything is done perfectly. So in this way, we are covered over massively by this external energy of Krishna. And that makes us forget completely. As they say, the original disease. What is the disease? We said the original disease is bhava roga. What is the primary symptom? Every disease has its symptom. Right? Malaria has fever as a symptom. Tuberculosis has cough as a symptom. Cancer has growth as a symptom. So every disease has its symptom. So what is the primary symptom of bhava roga? The primary symptom is amnesia. Primary symptom is forgetfulness. The primary symptom of bhava roga, the first symptom is that we forget who actually we originally are. Complete forgetfulness. So we live like that for how many millions of lifetimes, completely unaware of what we are. Years go by, lifetimes after lifetimes, you just go on, think that I am this, and then after that, no, I was not that, I'm now I'm this, and I'm that, and now I'm this, and now I'm that. You go on like that, you think I'm a demigod, now I'm a cockroach, I'm a giraffe, I'm this, I'm that. You go on, bacteria. 84 lives, we keep on revolving for so many lifetimes like this. So the question is, when does this process end? Is it eternal damnation into illusion where we always will never know who we are? We just go on like that, wandering. Brahmanda Brahmite. We just go on, just Brahman, Brahman, Brahman. So the actual point in time when this seemingly endless journey, futile journey, because it leads to nowhere. This journey, which is a journey, yes, you're going to different bodies. But where does this journey really lead to? It leads to nowhere. It's just going, just like that, revolving up and down. It's not leading anywhere. It's like somebody looking for something, just going round and round. I said, what are you doing? I'm just going round and round. If an aeroplane is there, you're sitting in the plane, you're supposed to go to Baroda or wherever else, and just go round and round in the runway. It's moving, but where are you going? And it's just not going anywhere. It's just on the runway, just going round and round. So the soul is there in this body of the airplane, but it is just going round and round. It's not going anywhere practically. It is in samsara chakra, completely bound. So where does the point come in where actually this seemingly useless, futile wandering of the soul end? It only ends when he contacts somehow or the other the Lord's internal potency. Only that point of time when he contacts in potency, then actually this layer starts breaking off. The covering start. Like a cloud. We are all covered over, we said, right? We are covered over. We always say we are covered over, covered over. Yes, the whole material nature is not, it's not that we are covered over. The whole material realm itself is a covered off place, like a cloud. You have the infinite spiritual sky, and then you have a cloud sitting there. That cloud is the cloud, the dense cloud, and everything under the cloud is the material realm. So in one sense, what separates us from the spiritual sky where Krishna is performing his pastimes is this cloud. It is just, as this Acharya said, it is only one sky. There are not two skies. Okay, so we said this is a material sky, a spiritual sky. That's an illusion. There's only one sky. There's a spiritual sky. And in the spiritual sky, there is one cloud. And underneath that cloud is this massive material realm. Okay? So when does the cloud break? Like when you have the sun. In monsoon, we will see the sun. And a brilliant sun. The sun's how many megawatts of energy? Powerful. But then a flimsy cloud. The cloud is very flimsy, is it not? When the plane goes through, it cuts through. It's not like a thick lead sheet or something, you know, which you cannot cut through. You break your head over it, you know, it hits you back. It's not a thick, it's just water vapor. Water vapor, and in anything, it just a bird can even fly through it. But yet, Krishna is so expert that he can make this water vapor cover the sun. And then it's just thick layer of water vapor, and then it is dark. It's really, oh, even if it's 12 in the afternoon, you feel it is evening, like, you know, 7 o'clock in the evening. So only when that cloud starts breaking apart, then again the sun shines through again. So only when the power to break this external energy comes from the internal energy. That means, and who is the carrier of this? Who connects us to the internal energy of the Lord? The internal energy of the Lord is the property. It's always within the heart of Krishna's pure devotee. He is the carrier of the internal potency of the Lord. And when you contact him, that is the most glorious historical day of that soul's seemingly endless journey in this material world. So we find, for example, if you take Vrindavan pastimes, let's say Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna killed all the demons. Arishtasur killed. Agasur killed. Putana killed. Only one demon was not killed. And that is Kaliya. Because Kaliya had a great advantage over other demons. And that his dearmost people, his associates, were Krishna's devotees, the Nagapatnis. Since they were Krishna's pure devotees, they were carriers of the Lord's internal potency. So even though the offense he did was so unforgivable. Nonetheless, just because there was somebody praying for him, that became the saving grace. So there was contact. He was vomiting blood. He was on the verge of death. There's nothing more. He was just absolutely, you know, like terminal, like, you know, you can say in medical language, gasping. He was on oxygen. He was absolutely gasping. His blood was out. His vomit was out. He was dehydrated. He was devitalized. There's nothing remaining in his body. Everything was out. Nothing. His limbs were like, he was limp completely. He was not able to hold himself. His powerful hoods were completely collapsed. There was nothing inside. But then at the verge of death, the offer prayers came in. Said, please save him. We love him. However bad he is, he's still, you know, wife is still love. Why sometimes like that? The husband can be sometimes very demoniac, but sometimes women are so gracious that, you know, they will love even a demoniac husband. Mandodari and all these people are like that. You know, Gandhari, they know that the husband is a crazy fool, nonsense, rascal. But still Mandodari never stopped giving her love to Ravan. Gandhari also, always by his side. That's what a woman is supposed to be. Chaste, always by the side. Always by the side, like a shadow of the husband. So, That was the saving grace. So, like we see now, you know, this in the Hare Krishna movement also, that the Hare Krishna movement is being run by the Lord's internal potency. It is not being run by external potency. There may be a lot of, you know, money required and construction and bricks and gold and wood and this and that, so many things. So it looks like all external energy. But no, Krishna's, Prabhupada says in the 10th canto that Krishna's incarnated in this world as the Hare Krishna movement. In the advent of Lord Krishna's story, he says this, that Krishna is incarnated again. He went away again after Kurukshetra, he went back to the spiritual sky, but he incarnated again in the form of the Hare Krishna movement. So if Krishna is incarnated as the Hare Krishna movement, that means the movement is run by the Lord's internal potency. It's a very revealing, small, but in this connection, detail, that how you, the American youth, the hippies, they had a motto in life. They had a slogan for themselves, that we will not put our faith in anyone who is about 30. So the parents are obviously out because the parents are, you know, 50s, 60s, like that. So absolutely no question of putting any trust, any faith, not even hearing them, not considering, out. These useless fellows, you know. Nothing to do with them. But how, when you say the potency of the Lord, the bewildering potency of the Lord, the Maya Shakti of the Lord, so, you know, the external potency also covers you over, and the internal potency also covers you. Both actually cover. So they'll end up putting faith in a person who's 70 years old. They fall for a person flat on their nose practically, for a man who's 70 years old. This is the Lord's. They were covered over. They didn't realize what they're doing. They were saying all the time, no, no, no. And then suddenly they fall to a person who's 70 years old. Shamsuddha Prabhu is going to Russia. Packing his bag. He has a very short notice. Prabhupada wanted to go to Russia so bad. 1971 or 72. And of all the places Prabhupada wanted to really pierce the Iron Curtain. Because they're like a big, huge superpower, Russia at that time. And there was no Vaishnavism in this huge continent, USSR. No bhakti, no Krishna consciousness, no Mahaprabhu's movement not reaching there. Prabhupada wanted to cut through this somehow or the other. And enter and pierce and, you know, tear apart this iron curtain. You can't, in a cloth curtain you can tear. You can't tear iron curtains. Nobody can do that. Except Narasimhadev. You can just, you know, can tear even, you know, Hiranyakashipu's Vakshasthala made of Vajra. So Prabhupada, the embodiment of Narasimhadev's potency, he wanted to pierce through this iron curtain. And he's taking his, you know, cloth and he's just pecking his bag. Malti Mataji just pecking his bag hurriedly and going. He used to carry some book there, you know, a book devotee, whenever they travel, they carry some book, bead bag, book, must. And of course, clothes and, you know, tilak and all that. They carry the Bhagavad Gita. Right? And obviously, everyone knows in Russia, you can't carry a religious book. It is anti-religion. Communism is anti-religion. And then as they're saying, anything to declare, and it goes there and the customs, and the person opens the bag and the book and this, and the Gita falls. And he reads Bhagavad Gita as it is. Oh, this is your book, Swamiji. I'm sorry this book fell from me. Just take it back. He reads the title. He reads this Bhagavad Gita. He knows what it is all about. And says, I'm sorry I did this to you. Please take it back. And one book of Prabhupada enters Russia. The only book, the first book in modern history, enters a personal copy of Shamsundar Prabhu. And then all the copies and all this huge book distribution. You know, we hear in this book, Salted Bread, you know, Salted Bread, the whole story of how they print all these books, millions of books. Remember the devotee who came here? The one devotee came here who was, I forget his name. Sarabhanda Prabhu, yes, he was the pioneer, but there was another person who was printing the books, remember, in the Russian printing presses itself. In their printing press, they were printing our books. Right? The devotee was there, I forget his name. Brahmanand Prabhu. Yeah? So, and those millions of books which flooded Russia came from that one Bhagavad Gita. So the the custom officer was covered over. A few days back, we heard another story, right, of how this KGB was so, like, you know, like a dog's, you know, dog's trail, you know, like a dog, they can smell, you know. So like KGB, like dogs, they were sniffing, where is Hare Krishnas, you know, where are the Hare Krishnas, sniffing them here and there, whenever they catch them. So here is a devotee who is distributing books on the road, right, and then he starts to distribute to this person, and the person is really gets agitated and so wild with him, he takes his collar and punches him. And there's a fight on the road for having tried to give him a religious book. And he's like really demonic fellow. He's trying to pound him. And the KG fellow is just moving around and said, he sees this fellow is, you know, getting beaten up rightly, wrongly. He doesn't know. But he just goes there and he finds a whole pile of books in his hands. And the books are all here and there, everywhere. And he comes and sees those books and doesn't realize this is a Hare Krishna. Or either actually he realizes it's a Hare Krishna and looks, takes his books, puts in hand, said, Hare Krishna, take these books back. And takes the books back and he's not arrested. Right? Now this man is told that arrest them and put them in prison. Right? And torture them. But here he takes the books, says Hare Krishna to this person, gives him books and said, you know, and harouses that gunda wherever he was and throws him away and fight is stopped. He was covered over. So we can see in many times, Prabhupada used to say this, if the Americans knew what I am saying, they would kill me. Prabhupada used to say this, right? So the whole government, here is Prabhupada going into the very the headquarters of Kali Yuga in New York City, where she conducts all her affairs in this world from, and goes there and tells them, no meditating, no gambling, no intoxicating, no illicit sex. And people in New York start believing that this is the right way to live. Right? So how is this happening? We can only say that Prabhupada was a carrier of the Lord's internal potency. And in this way, now how does this potency really work? The external potency is called Avarnatmika Shakti. It covers you. The Yogamaya potency also covers you and yet reveals Krishna. It's wonderful when you understand it like that. It covers the devotee, but it reveals Krishna. Like Yashoda Mai, she's completely covered over, right? See, this is my baby. This is my son. This is my child. And I want to love him. Cuddles him, kisses him, fondles him. So many ways, like showers her motherly love. And the moment Krishna starts showing his mouth, small mouth of 1 by 1 inch diameter, and then the whole universe, multiple universes, all in Krishna's small mouth. Yashoda Mai sees all this. She's bewildered. And she starts understand this is not my son. This is Krishna. This is God. This is what she starts having all these, you know, grand ideas about who her son is. She starts placing him as a very, very great, great personality and like whatever. And the moment Yashoda Mai starts thinking like that, Krishna says, oh, the cloud is breaking. She's seeing me for what I am. And immediately Krishna adds another dose of Yogamaya over her. And the moment Krishna closes his mouth, she has forgotten everything. And she was about to she was offering her prayers to Krishna and that you are this and you are that. And she forgets all that and just embraces him. So this way, each and every devotee, so the external potency of the Lord covers the Jivatma. And in the spiritual sky also, it covers the devotees. So it looks like covering things is a basic way of creation. Like the body is covered with the skin. A car is covered by the tin. A fruit is covered by its skin again. A tree is covered by its bark. Everything in this world is covered. Imagine how would a car be, however beautiful it is. I mean, it cannot be beautiful, of course. How a BMW, but without the tin. Or a Mercedes, or a Rolls Royce. Everything inside is like, you know, when you buy a Rolls Royce, if it is no covering there? So, it is this covering which is a basic aspect of creation. Everything has to be covered over. That's the way Krishna has designed this world. Everything has to be covered over. The universe also is covered over by all these layers. Everything is covered over. So, in the spiritual sky, every devotee is covered over. But that covering does not bewilder them. the way it does to us. It reveals Krishna. So how can something cover you and at the same time be revealing? That's the absolute truth. All contradictions get resolved in absolute truth. Like we say sometimes in a Grihastha seminar, we say, we have a subtitle which says that strengthening the bonds with free you. Which is a husband and wife. So we say, how do we strengthen the bond of husband and wife? So bond, how can bond be freeing you? Bond is meant for, bondage means suffering. So we give the seminars that how to strengthen those bonds, which ultimately will free you. That means if you have a Krishna conscious bond between husband and wife, that bond itself will be the cause of your freedom. So bonds can also free. A bond to a pure devotee is not a bond which binds you into suffering. That bond leads to freedom. The bond, the attachment to the deity of the Lord, is attachment. It is a bond. Like your Kshetra Sannyas, you carry the deities wherever you go. You are bound. But that bond does not bind you. It ultimately frees you. So in this way, even Yogamaya potency also, it's a covering potency. It covers the devotees, but at the same time it reveals Krishna in his true glory. Right? Of course, in this case, Lord Shiva's case, for teeny people like us, we require something like excellent potency to cover us. But for great people, Krishna has to actually come over to cover them. So, Lord Shiva is not being covered by excellent potency. This is very, Prabhupada has made it very, very clear. We don't misunderstand this pastime ever in our life. And put Shiva anything less than what he is in our understanding of his glory. That he does not become any more less than what actually is. In fact, he becomes more glorified. He becomes even more glorified by this pastime. So people like Indra and Shiva, and they are to be bewildered by the Lord himself in this, and he has to do it himself. So there is one pastime which is, which I thought was special in the sense that here is a pastime where Krishna shows his absolute supreme dominion over all living entities completely. That means he can cover. He is so powerful. He can cover everybody over. And he himself remains completely uncovered. So we have in this Leela, in the Brahma Mohan Leela, where of course Brahma is covered over completely, right? Brahma is bewildered. How can this boy, Madhumangal comes in from the side. And Madhumangal is, like greedy for prasad. And he likes to eat prasad so much. And I think his mother or someone gave him a big pot of lassi or something like that, chas. And he drinks and drinks and drinks. And he's so selfish. He doesn't share all this with his covered boys. And it's the last thing which is in his there. And he drinks that also. The last bit, last morsel. And he doesn't want to share with anybody. He's so selfish. And he, because there's no place to put in, he's like absolute, literally physically out of his gullet. He's like overflowing. If you have to just press his stomach a little bit, boom, everything will come out. It's like so tight. And the last bit of chas, he then, where to put it? He cannot put it in the pocket because in the pocket will drain off, the cloth cannot take liquid. He put the large morsel in his mouth. So he's like tight and the whole bucket is over. And he just enters like that into the, in Krishna's presence. And Krishna realizes Madhumangal is completely tight. Not tight in the wrong sense. He is intoxicated with chas. And Krishna wants to have a wonderful pastime now. Krishna loves his devotee so much that he wants to have the remnants of the Mahaprasad of Madhumangal. And really, wants to do asakaro, asakaro. And then you puncture them. Children, we play with them like that. Asakaro, asakaro. And you poke them. And they like it. And they puncture your cheeks and you puncture their cheeks. And this comes from Krishna. Krishna's original puncture of cheeks. This pastime was done by Krishna to Madhumangal. He just hits on cheeks of Madhumangal and poop, the whole chas pours out. And who drinks it? Krishna drinks it. Krishna drinks it. And when Brahmaji sees this, he said, this is not God. This cannot be a God. What kind of a God is this? And this is not God. So he wants to put God into, his acid test. Like you have, you test things for its purity, spectroscopic. you test everything for its purity. You put a spectroscope and magnetic resonance imaging, you know, whatever different things you do to find out how things are pure or not, and this and that. So he wants to put him at his acid test. Is this a god or not a god? I must be sure about this. Right? So we know how Brahmaji gets completely bewildered. Completely bewildered. And in that pastime, Krishna has become cowherd boys. He has become the cowherd. He's become the cows also. Right? And each and every gopi is marrying Krishna. Not each and every gopi. The young gopis are all marrying Krishna. They have got Krishna as their husbands. And each and every calf gets Krishna as their mother. And they're all cuddling Krishna like that directly. And for one full year that this pastime took place, even Balram did not know about this. Only towards the end of the pastime, one year, then one day when the cow start, start running towards the calf like anything. Now they said in the Bhagavatam that the calves were like pretty grown up by now. They don't have to run like that. But because they were Krishna, the calves were running. They were not really so much dependent on their mothers anymore. But they were running, and then Balram is thinking, why? Why this special exchange between the cows and calves? This is unusual. So then he starts thinking, this is something going on over here. So in this particular pastime, even Krishna had the power to bewilder Balaram. Even he was completely covered over. Generally, Balaram knows everything. Even when Kaliya is under the in the hoods of Krishna is in the hoods of Kaliya, Balaram just smiling. No problem. My brother, you know, he's great. You know, so Yashodama is crying, beating her chest, and Nanda Maharaj is like hysterical, and all the children are crying. Everything is going on like that. Balaram is no. It's my bhaiya, you know, he knows everything. He will tackle him. You know, this is another. And original, I'm the original snake. You know, he can. You know, this is a teeny snake of this world. You know, he cannot do much to my dear brother. Right. So he is not affected by that at all. He smiles. But in this pastime, his special pastime, even Balramji is covered over. So Krishna shows his complete supreme dominion and the power to even cover over whom? His own second self as Lord Balaram. Right? So that's how great Krishna is. He can cover over everybody. Nobody can be spared. When Krishna wants to cover anybody, he can cover everybody. Even his dear most devotee, Balaram, expansion. Right? So in this way, now, what covers actually all of us in this material world is this conception of, when I say I'm covered over, what does it mean? I'm covered over by desire to enjoy this world. When you say, what is cover? Is there a blanket cover is covering us? Like we sleep in the night, covers over. So when I say over, what does it actually technically mean? It means technically that I'm covered over by my desire to enjoy this material world. So we are covered over to different degrees depending on how much is this desire to enjoy this world. That's what we are covered over by. So what is the antidote to that? We say Ravana is covered over. Now Ravana is seeing that this person called Ram, who looks like a human being, has the power to destroy Karan Dushan also. Now, who was infallible. And he has also, killed Indrajit also. Now he was infallible. Now, who is this? How can a human being destroy the most powerful person who destroyed Indrajit? But even then, when he's seeing so much, he's not able to actually see that this is God. And everyone is telling him. Mandodari is telling him. And his father is telling him. Even Kumbhakarna is telling him also that this is probably a God. This is God, you know. But he doesn't listen to nobody. Why? Because he's so thickly covered over by the power of lust. We say Ravan is the personification of lust. Among the six anarthas, lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, the personification of lust is Ravan. So in that case, he is a classic role model of a person who just cannot see, in spite of massive proof in front of him, that this person is God. And so also in the same category is Duryodhan, like Radhanand Maharaj mentioned the other day, the past time, of how Krishna is showing him, in this assembly, that he is God. He is showing his universal form to him. And yet Duryodhana is saying this is a Mayavi. This is some mystic trick of this person. And he sends soldiers to arrest the universal form. Now how can somebody send the soldiers to arrest the universal form? Now, how do you arrest? What kind of, you know, hatkadi you can allow? You know, what is called hatkadi? This handcuffs. What kind of handcuffs can you put? You know, the universal form has millions of hands. How can you put handcuffs to the universal form? But Duryodhana is so covered over. So what's the difference between a devotee and a demon? Is it the tilak? Is it the kanti mala? Is it the dress of a saffron or a white or a sari, head covered? Or a chest looking nice, you know, offering obeisance to everybody around? What is the actual difference between a devotee and a demon? It is to the extent this lust is there or not. The opposite of lust, how do we conquer lust? How do we really conquer lust? Lust can only be conquered by the power of genuine service attitude. The opposite of enjoyment is service. That I am not the enjoyer, I am the Jivara Swarup Hoy, Nitya Krishna Nitya Das. So the extent we are embedded, to the extent we are fixed up in our resolve and understanding that I am a servant, to that extent we are not covered over. So we have all grades of devotees. All of us are aspiring devotees or calling ourselves as devotees, whatever it is. But what is the difference between all of us in terms of our where we are in the ultimate sense? To the extent we are covered over, we are still in that category of being mixed devotees. And as you go higher and higher in a sadhana bhakti, the less and less we get covered over by the proportion increase of service attitude. Therefore, so much stress is always given in our classes of enhancing this modality in our consciousness called the service attitude. The moment we want to start serving, that means we are destroying the great covering potency of the desire to enjoy. That I'm not the enjoyer. My enjoyment, in fact, is to serve. Yes, I am the enjoyer, but my enjoyment lies in my service. So Purush also enjoys, Prakriti also enjoys, husband also enjoys, wife also enjoys. So when you serve Krishna, Krishna enjoys, Jivatma also enjoys. In that sense, we are also enjoyers, but we are called as secondary enjoyers. The primary enjoyer has to be Krishna, and we have to cooperate in Krishna's enjoyment. So Ravana is on this side, and other side of the spectrum is an extreme example of uncontrolled lust and completely covered over type of Jivatma. And along the other side of the spectrum, as you go, it becomes thinner and thinner. This lust becomes thinner and thinner. And then the other side you have Hanuman, who's completely manifesting the unlimited resolve, unlimited enthusiasm to always keep serving, no matter what. So we have to move from our graph of bhakti has to move from the Ravana side, which we all are. Don't we all say, when Dashara comes, Vijayadashmi comes, that this Ravana potency is in all of us also? Even though we call ourselves devotees, this potency of desire to enjoy is very much there in all of us. We say that all the time, right? Though we don't recognize it all, most of the time, it is there. We are enjoying, trying to enjoy. So we have to move from this part of the spectrum of Ravana consciousness and go on to other side of the spectrum, where there is the great Hanuman. That means complete manifestation of intense service attitude. To unlimited degree. There is unlimited lust on one side and unlimited service attitude on the other side. So that's why we have Hanuman in our temples. And we take him as the emblem of Dasya Bhava. He's the highest, most glorified personality in the Dasya Rasa. And we are all Krishna Das, Dwarkadish Das, this Das, that Das, Dasi. We are all Das. So for us, the highest person is Hanumanji Maharaj. Hanumanji Maharaj. So we want to move like that. Now Indra also is a great devotee. But still, that enjoyment potency is very, very strong still. Therefore it's called mixed devotee. Right? And then as we move other side, so the more we thin, the cloud of Maya which covers us becomes thin to the extent we have developed service attitude. When the service attitude manifests to the fullest extent, the cloud disappears. The cloud covering us disappears completely. This thick cloud, as I said in the beginning, is covering us for millions and billions of lifetimes, will be completely destroyed. When we have developed fully the attitude of being Krishna's servant, then the cloud cannot stand in front of us. Then Krishna will be most happy. Seeing the service attitude of within our heart, Krishna will be most happy and willing to reveal himself to us as he is. He will reveal to us. And then when Krishna is revealed, then we are eternally attracted to him. When we are attracted to him, there is no looking back. Then again, we cannot be attracted to the Lord's external potency. We can never be covered over, ever. We will always be basking ourselves in the brilliance of Krishna's beauty. So, therefore, so much stress is always given on this one beautiful quality. All the qualities of a devotee. He should be sincere and this and that. So many things we say in 20 qualities of a devotee. That quality which actually makes this which quality will allow us to go from this side of Ravana spectrum, which we all of us are being bothered by that. This lust desire is bothering us, is harassing us. The word harass is used here in the purport. Shiva is being harassed by internal potency. And we are being harassed. Every practicing devotee knows in his heart how he is being tormented by these lusty desires. And how difficult it is for all of us to somehow, you know, reconcile with this downward drag of our consciousness. How difficult it is to pull us on the opposite side. So what will carry us from Ravana's side to the Hanuman side? Something has to carry us. What carries us will be the quality of humility. Humility actually manifests as service attitude. Humility actually means I'm a servant. And pride means I'm the master. As simple as that. So to the extent we are thinking I'm master, we are trying to enjoy. Ravana say I'm the master of the universe. I'm Trilok. What is it? He said Trilokeshwar. He used to say, I'm Trilokeshwar. He would always shout like that. I'm Trilokeshwar. Who is this stupid monkey trying to challenge me? He used to think he's Triloknath. The Lord of the entire universe. All the three worlds. That's what he was thinking. So we have to go from this aspect to the other aspect. So that is why this genuine humility of the heart is the most glorified quality. Is the most glorified quality. And the moment that comes in, therefore when Jagai Madhai, who are so degraded, and then the intervention, who intervened as in Kaliya's case, Kali was fit to die at Krishna's hands. He was fit to die. No second thought to that. Jagai Madhai fit to die. Where is it? Is there? Mahaprabhu is already, the chakra is already there, just 3 feet away from them. Chakra means death. Chakra means death, absolute death. Nobody has, chakra means, it has to kill them. But then what really prevented chakra from acting? The intervention of the internal potency manifested through Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So even after Jagai Madhai have been rescued by the Lord's internal potency through Nityananda Prabhu, they are feeling so bad that we have done such horrible crime and atrocities to the world. So in order to actually atone for all the nonsense they have done, so what should we do? They went to Nityananda Prabhu and said, what should we do? We have beaten you up. We have drawn blood from your body. How horrible you feel like that when you say, like a spiritual master, if somebody, like a disciple, we don't even think about it, but the disciple, beats his Gurudev and draws blood. How will you think? Like that. So Nityananda is Guru Tattva. And this disciple, Jagannath, is saying, I drew blood from my Gurudev's head. I beat him. What type of guilt will kill you like that? When you come to your senses. So how do I atone for this? So go and make a ghat. Go and make a ghat at the Ganga. So all the people who were tormenting, make a ghat so they can come and take a nice bath. So Nityananda Prabhu gave him some service. So he was with a shovel, he was breaking and making a ghat and all that. And they would beat him. The stones would come on his, hurling on his own forehead. People who are, angry with this fellow. Said, thank you very much. He manifested humility. I did so much more to you. Thank you for giving me the stone on my forehead. Humility. Right? So, this service attitude is the hallmark. And we are very few days, just a few days from now, we are celebrating Vyasa Puja. So, the spiritual master is the hallmark, is a personification of service attitude. The spiritual master is the embodiment. And therefore, he is considered as Sakshat Dharitvena. He is considered as the supreme personality of Godhead. No, he is not the spiritual personality of Godhead. He is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. That is what spiritual master is. So as we are coming close to the Vyasa Puja celebrations, this can be a very nice meditation for all of us. The person we are glorifying with garlands and nice, beautiful words, it is not just a human being made in flesh and blood. That may be the external temporary reality for us to see. But what he's embodying, the disciple, the devotee always looks for the tattva, for the essence. The devotee may look for the essence of everything. So the essence of what we are doing on that day is that we are glorifying a person who is the carrier of the Lord's potency of being the servitor Godhead. And by worshipping him, by glorifying him, by taking his charanamrita, by beholding him, by offering him ghee lamp and wick and chamara and all these beautiful auspicious items, by worshipping him, we can get a part of that genuine service attitude as his blessing. What comes as blessing of the spiritual master? When he touches your head, is that blessing? Yes, it is blessing. But if he doesn't touch your head, no blessing? No. He don't want to touch everybody's head. And he will never touch a woman's head. Because of gender difference. So what is the blessing of the spiritual master on the disciple? What actually is blessing? When the disciple feels enthused to serve, that actually is the blessing of the spiritual master. To the extent he's feeling like enjoying, to the extent he is a little bereft of the spiritual master's blessings. And when the guru sees such service attitude, he bestows even more and more and more and more. How much love Prabhupada gave to his book distributors, because they were serving him day and night in the heat, in the sun, in the bitter cold, minus 30 degrees in Russia. We have seen Niranjan Maharaj's photographs of gloves and thick woolen coats, freezing. Jindra Mohan Maharaj was telling the other day of distributing books in minus 30 degrees temperature. Minus 30 degrees temperature. When just everything becomes frozen and still going out on the road and giving a book to a passerby. I said, please take this, take this. We have devotees in a warhead Liberia, and all these horrible countries in South Africa. Always, there's all these different coups going on over there. And these two Mataji is going, even when bullets are going from both their sides, just going with a packet of food, prasad, to some injured soldier or some, injured citizen. I said, take this, prasad. So people who have given their lives to serve, they are the recipients of Krishna's mercy. Nothing expecting, nothing for themselves. All they can expect is a bullet next time on their own chest, throwing, just killing them. That's the only thing they're expecting. It's going to happen. But even then, they risk their life and give out a piece of nice cake to another injured person lying on the side of the road. So when Krishna sees that service attitude of a genuine nature, then we become the recipient of Krishna's causeless mercy. Then no longer can be covered over by this bewildering potency of the Lord, which is Duratyaya, which even nobody can overcome. Nobody can overcome. Even Indra cannot overcome. Nobody can overcome. Even Brahma cannot overcome. Nobody can overcome. But yes, a simple devotee, what Brahma cannot achieve, and what can bewilder him, a simple devotee, like Dukhi, who is just arranging some pots of water for Mahaprabhu's Abhishek, she will get. She will get. She will be able to see the Lord for what he is. So, this is the type of, we chant Hare Krishna. To conclude, we will conclude with the holy name. Why is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra the Mahamantra? Of all the mantras in the scriptures, which are all pure, they're transcendental, Shuddha Sattva substance, why is this the Mahamantra? because there is no mantra in creation other than the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which has the most powerful effect on the consciousness to evoke the Jivatma's service attitude. This mantra is so powerful that it can destroy the enjoying spirit and rapidly create an effect on the consciousness whereby the Jivatma's service attitude is generated, which is dormant. The spirit soul is dormant. But all the mantras, when you chant the Mahamantra, immediately your desire to serve Krishna is generated more than any other mantra in the world. Right? That is why this is the most glorified mantra. Therefore, we want to always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments? So, thank you, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.